Colossians chapter 1, and we'll look at verse number 1. Paul, an apostle of Jesus Christ, by the will of God, and Timotheus, our brother, to the saints and faithful brethren in Christ which are at Colossae, grace be unto you and peace from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. We give thanks to God and the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, praying always for you, since we heard of your faith in Christ Jesus and of the love which ye have to all the saints, for the hope which is laid up for you in heaven, whereof ye heard before in the word of the truth of the gospel, which is come unto you as it is in all the world, and bringeth forth fruit as it doth also in you, since the day ye heard of it and knew the grace of God in truth, as ye also learned of Epaphras, our dear fellow servant, who is for you a faithful minister of Christ, who hath declared unto us your love in the Spirit. For this cause we also, since that day we heard it, do not cease to pray for you, and to desire that you might be filled with the knowledge of his will in all wisdom and spiritual understanding, that you might walk worthy of the Lord unto all pleasing, being fruitful in every good work, and increasing in the knowledge of God, strengthened with all might, according to his glorious power, unto all patience and longsuffering with joyfulness, giving thanks unto the Father, which hath made us meet to be partakers of the inheritance of the saints in light, who hath delivered us from the power of darkness, and hath translated us into the kingdom of his dear Son, in whom we have redemption through his blood, even the forgiveness of sins, who is the image of the invisible God, the firstborn of every creature. For by him were all things created that are in heaven and that are in earth, visible and invisible, whether they be thrones or dominions or principalities or powers. All things were created by him and for him, and he is before all things, and by him all things consist. And he is the head of the body, the church, who is the beginning, the firstborn from the dead, that in all things he might have the preeminence. For it pleased the Father that in him should all fullness dwell, and having made peace through the blood of his cross, by him to reconcile all things unto himself. By him, I say, whether they be things in earth or things in heaven, and you that were sometimes alienated and enemies in your mind by wicked works, yet now hath he reconciled. Heavenly Father, I would ask, Lord, that you'd please add your blessings to the reading of the Bible. No doubt there's already been some things that the Holy Spirit has reminded us of or taught us, even in just the reading of the Bible. And now, Lord, as we begin to expound upon what we've read, I pray that you would please use this message, Lord. And I pray, dear God, that you would help it to set a tone for a year in our hearts. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen. And you may be seated. I want you to look for a little two-word phrase in verse number 16. It's there twice. The two words, all things. Go ahead and underline that. Colossians 1:16, by him were all things created. And then later on in the verse, all things were created by him and for him. Then notice, if you will, Colossians 1:17, he is before what? All things. And by him, all things consist. Look at verse 18. And he is the head of the body, the church, who is the beginning, the firstborn from the dead, that in all things he might have the preeminence. Look at verse 20. And having made peace through the blood of his cross, by him to reconcile what? All things unto himself by him. I say, whether they be of things in heaven or things in earth. You know what? Christ sure accomplished a lot. He controls a lot. He does a lot. He's everything. The little Greek word, if you were to look into a Greek New Testament, every place where you see all things, there would just be one word. It's a small word, a three-letter word, P-A-S, pas. Pas is interpreted, translated, by the way, very accurately, very appropriately, it's translated all things. These verses teach us several things about Jesus Christ. Number one, all things were created by Christ. This speaks to the deity of Jesus Christ, his pre-existence with the Father. Let me say this, folks. Jesus is not a created being. He is part of the Godhead, the Trinity. If you get in a church where you start hearing preaching about Jesus being anything less than God, you get out of that church, because they are teaching heresy. All things were created by Christ. That means if you go to Genesis chapter 1, Jesus was involved in the creation of the world. All things were created by Christ. The Bible also says there in verse number 6 things that all things were not only created by him, all things were created for Christ. So all things were created by Christ. All things were created for Christ. You know why you exist today? You know why? Because God in His pleasure wanted you to exist. You know, well, preacher, why is the sky the color it is? Because it pleased the Lord. Why are there such a variety of trees? Because it pleased the Lord. Why are there so many different animals? Because it pleased the Lord. You know that Christ did not create and actually create the world so much for us as He did for Him. And then since we are in His image, created in His image, isn't it amazing that so much of the things that please God also are pleasing to us? So all things were created by Christ, but all things were created for Christ. By the way, young person, that means that God created you. Because all things were created by Christ. And that means that you were created for Jesus Christ. You weren't created for the world. You weren't created for the drug crowd. You weren't created for the bar scene. You weren't created to go out and live a hellish life and be an abomination before God. You were created by God. And you were created for Christ and for His good pleasure. Let me add this. All things post-date Christ. In verse 17, He is before all things. That means that everything that you see existed since and were created after Christ. Christ was before all things. We had a little girl walk out of the church here. Oh, I think I told you this story maybe about a year ago, and you could tell she was thinking. And I like it when children come on the bus, and you can tell they sit in church and they listen and they think. She stopped and she grabbed my hand, and I was just saying bye there and then moving her along, and all of a sudden she said, "Preacher, I need to ask you something." She said, "When was God born?" I said, "Amen." She's thinking about this. She's thinking about this. See, what's happening is she's been sitting under the preaching of the Bible, and she's been learning about God, and she's heard some statements about God that it's hard for our little child sometimes to register, so she just come and ask the preacher. Well, that's a good thing to do. She said, "When was God born?" I said, "God never was born. God always has been." You've seen her little mind trying to grasp that concept of infinity. Grasp the concept that there was never a beginning with God, that He's always been. Let me say this. I don't blame her for struggling a little bit. It's just hard for this old man sometimes too to grasp the eternal God. But let me just say this. You'll never find a place where He started, and you'll never find a place where He ends. He's always been, and alongside Him as part of the triune God, Jesus Christ was before all things. It goes on to make this statement, by Him all things consist. So not only were all things created by God and all things created for God, and Christ was before anything was created, Christ holds everything together. There got to be a familiar phrase, a popular phrase back in the 60s. Boy, 60s was an abominable, by the way, for the most part, an abominable decade in our country. Some of you lived back in those days. You young people, the styles of the 60s, the slang of the 60s, the peace sign of the 60s, all the stuff that's coming back in rotation now that's becoming popular. If you'd have been here the first time, you wouldn't be interested in any of that junk. But it wasn't a good time in America. But there was a phrase that was made popular by the hippies, and I think John Lennon was involved with it somewhat. But they decided that God was dead. These are the folks that wouldn't just come out and deny that there has never been a God or that God didn't create the world, but they just decided that, okay, maybe He did, but now He's dead. He's dead. Say, "Preacher, how do you know that God's not dead? By Him all things consist." God ever ceased to be, you'd cease to be. If God ever ceased to be, then this church house would cease to be. If God ever ceased to be, this planet would cease to be. If God ever ceased to be, the universe would fragmate in all directions. You know, the only thing that's holding this whole thing together is the hand of Almighty God. By Him all things consist. I'm going to skip the next one because we're going to preach on that this morning. Verse 18, "In all things He might have the preeminence." But the last one is this in verse 20, "All things were reconciled by the blood of Christ." That word "reconciled" means that it was brought to balance. It was brought to payment, paid for. And you know what? When Jesus Christ died on the cross, He made a way to reconcile the sins of all of the world. He made a way to allow us to be saved, to be born again, to come before God under the blood of Christ. And let me just say this. He paid for everything, not just part of it, everything. All things were reconciled by the blood of Christ. Now, I want to speak this morning, though, on the one that I Just skipped over there in verse 18. What does that word preeminence mean? Young people, look right up here. In all things he might have the preeminence. What does it mean, preacher? Why does it say that? And what exactly does it mean? In all things Jesus Christ might have the preeminence. That little phrase there, I already told you, the word pos there is translated all things. Protos, foremost. It's translated foremost. Pos protos, all things foremost, all things preeminent. That means first in time, first in place, first in order, first in importance. Jesus Christ, please listen to me this morning. This is the message. Jesus Christ is before all things, and he's ranked number one and should be ranked number one in everything in your life. Now we find that this verse is in a letter to a local New Testament church. In the context of the verse, we see that Christ is declared the head of the body, the church. Let's read the whole verse, verse 18. And he is the head of the body, the church, who is the beginning, the firstborn from the dead, that in all things he might have the preeminence. Now I believe that you can take that last phrase and you can expand it as far as you want to. I would like to think that Jesus Christ would have preeminence in every school in America. By the way, there was a day when God's name was proclaimed even in the public school. Many of you in this room can remember going to the schoolhouse and having prayer. Teacher leading in prayer. I can remember going to a school, an elementary school, even as a young boy, and a teacher's having the King James Bible right there on the corner of their desk. One teacher in particular that would open every day by the reading the scriptures to us and then bowing her head and praying for us. Let me say this, folks. When we took prayer out of the school, we did some damage that's never been rectified. And you tell me this. Here's the question I often ask. You take God out of something, is it better or worse? You put God into something, is it better or worse? I'll tell you what, the public school system has not gotten better since they took God out of it. I think everybody can say amen right there. But let me say this, I'd like to think that Christ could have preeminence in every school, but that's not the case. I'd like to see Christ have preeminence in every business. By the way, don't separate your business from your Christian life. I like to walk into Christian businesses and know that I'm in a Christian business. I like walking into a business and seeing verses on the wall. You say, well, I'm afraid I might lose a sale or two. Well, shame on you. Shame on you for being ashamed of Christ. Money more important to you than proclaiming without fear or favor to everyone that walks in that you're a born-again Christian? Are you listening to me? I'd like to think that Christ could find preeminence in every place of business, but that's not necessarily true. As a matter of fact, we know it's not true. Wouldn't you like it to be true again that Jesus Christ had preeminence in our government? Say, oh, preacher, well, that's never been. Oh, you just don't know your history. By the way, one of these days, take a trip to Washington, D.C. And I mean, just walk to all the major memorials, monuments that have any age of them whatsoever. And you know what? You'll see the name of God on almost everything that we built. You'll see scriptures on almost everything that we built, every monument that we built. Go back into the founding of this country and pull out document after document, and you'll see that this is a Christian nation, was based on Christian principles. I'd like to think that our government, that Christ would have the preeminence, but that's just, I'm afraid it's not true anymore. But if he never has the preeminence in the schools or the businesses or in the government of the United States of America, there still should be one place where Christ is preeminent. And that place ought to be the church of Jesus Christ. Now, I want to just encourage you. I just felt like the Lord wanted me to take the first Sunday of 2011. And I'd like to just say this, folks, at Blessed Oak Baptist Church this year, let's make sure that Jesus Christ is preeminent in the church house. That means that he's number one. That means he has first place. That means that above everyone in all things, he is exalted. Jesus said, if I be lifted up, I'll draw all men unto me. Let's spend 2011 lifted up Jesus. Let's lift him up. Let me just say, maybe I can give you a little instruction, a little wisdom as far as how that can happen. I want to pastor a church where Christ is preeminent. I want to pastor a church like that. I think you want to attend a church where Christ is preeminent. At least you ought to. Well, how does that happen, preachers? That happened by accident? Oh, I can tell you this. You can say that it's not true, but I dare you to take a field trip or two. There's a lot of churches you'll walk in and Christ is not preeminent. Not Christ is not preeminent. Let me give you some thoughts here this morning. Number one, I'm going to start with myself. It's my responsibility as the pastor to promote Christ as preeminent here at Blessed Hope Baptist Church. Would you mark your place in Colossians and go over to 1 Corinthians? I want to take you to the very first chapter of 1 Corinthians. I'd like you to flip over there and look at this. When we taught through 1 Corinthians, we spent several weeks just trying to get through chapter number 1. Now let me remind you as you're turning there that the church of Corinth, and Paul is being led by the Holy Spirit of God to write down these inspired words, these words of God to the church of Corinth. The church of Corinth is a carnal church. The word carnal there just simply means fleshly. It's not a spiritual church. It's a carnal church. And right away, Paul, in the writing of this letter, I believe, shows us the answer to fixing carnality in the church, and that is through the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. Christ's name in the first 9 verses is invoked over and over and over again. Would you pay attention as I read? Paul called to be an apostle of who? Jesus Christ, through the will of God, and Sosthenes, our brother, unto the church of God which is at Corinth, to them that are sanctified in, called to be saints with all that are in every place, call upon the name of our Lord, both theirs and ours. Grace be unto you and peace from God our Father and from the Lord. I thank my God always on your behalf for the grace of God which is given you by, that in everything ye are enriched by him in all utterance and in all knowledge, even as the testimony of Christ was confirmed in you, so that ye come behind in no gift, waiting for the coming of our, who shall also confirm you unto the end, that ye may be blameless in the day of our God is faithful, by whom ye were called into the fellowship of his Son, Jesus Christ. Are you figuring this out? There's a lot of churches that just need somebody to come back in and remind them who the whole thing's about. By the way, it's not about the pastor. It's about the Prince of God. It's about the Prince of Peace. Jesus deserves the preeminence. Jesus ought to be number one. Matter of fact, we won't have the time. We can't reteach the whole chapter. But if you look in verse 10 through 18, you know, one of the problems and one of the reasons this church became so carnal is because Christ ceased to be exalted. One of the attributes of the carnal church in Corinth is this: members of the congregation were more loyal to earthly leaders than they were the eternal Lord. Bothered by a Christian that every time you talk to them, they are fixated on one Christian leader. I mean, everything they say, they're quoting this person, referring to this person, enamored by this person. If you're talking about any Christian leader more than you're talking about Jesus Christ, you need a reset button hit in your life. You see, by the way, jump down to the end of that chapter. Let's read this. Paul reminds us, folks, that the pastor, by the way, nobody, I don't think anybody has taught more and believes more that a pastor is deserving of fellowship and a pastor is deserving of respect and all of the things that come with the position of a pastor. The Bible teaches those things, but here the problem is when somebody gets so fixated on a man, they forget, listen, no pastor, no preacher, no evangelist, no missionary ought to have the preeminence in any ministry. Christ ought to have the preeminence. He reminds us in verse 26, for you see your calling, brethren, how that not many wise men after the flesh, not many mighty, not many noble are called, but God hath chosen the foolish things of the world to confound the wise. God hath chosen the weak things of the world to confound the things which are mighty, and base things of the world, and things that were despised hath God chosen, yea, and things which are not, to bring to naught things that are, that no flesh should glory in his presence. But of him are ye in Christ Jesus, who of God is made unto us wisdom and righteousness and sanctification and redemption, that according as it is written, he that glorieth, let him glory in who? The Lord. You know what he was saying? He was saying, thank God for your pastor and be thankful for your pastor and respect your pastor and listen to your pastor. But listen to me, he should not have preeminence in the church. Jesus Christ should have preeminence in the church. We have way too many personality-driven ministries in America today. Even in our independent fundamental Baptist circles, we have too many personality-driven ministries. I walked into a church And I'll try to be careful here. If you know who it is, you know who it is. But I walked into a church where a man showed up and he took a church and God began to bless it. And it grew some. And I was invited there to preach. And I walk, been there probably about 7-8 years, and I walk into the back door of his church. And right above the doors entering into the auditorium, he had a portrait painted of himself about this tall and about that wide. Can you imagine walking in Blessed Hope Baptist Church? And right there above the doors as you're getting ready to enter in, there's this huge oil painting of Pastor Jerry Ross. So being me, I look up and say, "You having trouble with mice?" Now, folks, listen to me. It shouldn't surprise anybody in here that God's hand began to lift off that ministry, and there began to be problems develop in that ministry, and carnality began to seep into that ministry, and now it's just a shadow of what it once was. Are you getting this? What I'm saying is this. Please don't miss this. I'm not diminishing. Paul said, "I magnify my office." I'm not diminishing the responsibilities of the pastor and your responsibilities to him. I am saying this. Only Christ should have preeminence. Only Christ should have preeminence. I opened up a package. I brought it with me. I opened up. By the way, I don't buy ink pens here. I don't know if we ever buy ink pens. And the reason is because all these ink pen companies are always sending us samples of ink pens, wanting us to buy ink pens with our advertisement, and they go ahead and send us one with all of our stuff on it so that we can see it, be impressed by it. And I'm real excited when they come. I open them up, take the ink pen out, throw the thing away, stick it in my drawer with all my other ink pen collection, you know. But I got one the other day. I got to admit, they got me on this one. Here's an ink pen. And it's got Blessed Hope Baptist Church. We're at 1 Box 367, Jasonville, Indiana. It's got our zip code, got our phone number. It's kind of disturbing, isn't it, what people can get? It's got our web address on it. It's got our logo already on it. But it also has, right there, a picture of Jerry Ross. You want this, don't you, Brother Tom? No, I'm serious. It's got my picture right there on the ink pen. We ordered 10,000 of them, by the way. I can't wait till they come. It's going to be exciting. There it is. The Jerry Ross ink pen. Say, what'd you do? I kept the ink pen, threw everything else away, like I always do. I'm feeling a little convicted about having this one. I may just get rid of it. But can I tell you this? This is going to be valuable one day, because this is the only Jerry Ross ink pen that'll ever be that'll ever be here at Blessed Hope Baptist Church. Now, listen to me, and let's not be overly harsh. I don't have a knee-jerk reaction if somebody has the name of their pastor on something or a picture of their pastor on some material. I am a little disturbed when it just seems like this is a PR campaign to promote a man, and where you can't seem to find Christ mentioned on much of anything that they put out. And so let me just say this, folks. At Blessed Hope Baptist Church, I promise you, from a leadership position here, I'm going to do my best to promote Christ as being the preeminent one here at Blessed Hope Baptist Church. Now, let me quickly follow this up, folks. I started with the pastor, and well, I should have. But the people of the church are to uphold Christ as preeminent. I want to read to you something that John wrote in his third epistle about a man by the name of Diotrephes. I wrote unto the church, but Diotrephes, who loved to have the preeminence among them, receiveth us not. Wherefore, if I come, I will remember his deeds which he doeth, prating against us with malicious words, and not content therewith, neither doth he himself receive the brethren, and forbiddeth them that would, and casteth them out of the church. Let me say this, if the pulpit and the pastor ought to promote Christ as being the preeminent one, then the pew and the people ought to also promote Christ as being the preeminent one. Diotrephes, it's interesting, that name now has become a label. I could take you to churches where there are some Diotrephes. If you get a Diotrephes in a church, I'm going to tell you something, it will damage that church, it'll stunt the growth of that church. I'll go a little farther than that. I believe the greatest church killers in the world are not the sodomites. I believe the greatest church killers in the world are not the drunks or the blasphemers or the atheists or the liberal politicians or the false teachers. I believe the greatest church killers in the world are the Diotrephes, those men and women who some point in their Christian life get enamored with themselves and decide that they ought to have preeminence in the assembly, not the Lord Jesus Christ. Let me ask you an honest question, church member. Are you about Jesus Christ or are you all about you? Does it bother you more if you don't get mentioned or does it bother you if Christ doesn't get mentioned? The greatest church killers in the world are church members who love to have the preeminence. They want to be first. They want to be important. They want to be recognized. What they think becomes more important to them than what the Bible says. They develop eye problems, capital I problems. Me, 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 me. Well, I think, well, I think, well, I think, well, I think. Soon their insatiable appetite for attention and accolades poisons their spirit, poisons their service, poisons their sincerity. John the Baptist, please, John. Jesus Christ said you were the greatest prophet that ever existed. Could you give us a proper formula? Could you give God's people a perfect mindset, please? John said, I'll be glad to. Here it is. He must increase, and I must decrease. He must increase, and I must decrease. Let me just say this to every single... By the way, we're blessed with some good people. We are blessed with some godly people. I'm going to say this, and if you take it out and run with it and throw rocks back at us, go ahead and do it. But I think the greatest gathering of Christians in this southern Indiana area happens here at Blessed Hope Baptist Church. But let me say this, folks. You better stay little in your own mind. You better stay humble in your own mind. You better stay in awe that God would use you at all. You know what I liked? I like to find nobodies. I like to find people that really don't think they can. And I like to find people that just are amazed that they're allowed to walk into church every week. I like to find people that are just shocked that God would use them in any capacity. I like to put them busy for the Lord. But let me tell you something. Something happens to some folks in the process of being used. They start being blessed because they see themselves as nothing. God starts using them because they believe that they're a nobody and He's everything. But then all of a sudden some people start saying some nice things to them and patting them on the back a little bit and congratulating them a little bit and saying, boy, that was a good special. That was a great Sunday school class. Well, I'll tell you what, you're doing a great job in this ministry. And next thing you know, we get a case of the big head and pride starts kicking in. I'm going to tell you something. The fastest way to be set on a shelf and never used of God is to begin to get overrun with pride. I don't know why pastor doesn't use me. I deserve that. You deserve hell and so do I. God uses any of us. It's a miracle. Now stay little, stay little, stay little, stay little. I want to just say this. I want the congregation to hear it. I want you new folks to hear it. And I think you do. I think you know this. But there's just no place for big shots here at Blessed Hope Baptist Church. Just no place for them. If you need the spotlight, you're going to be frustrated here. If you constantly need the applause of men or some human following or verbal accolades to feel good about yourself, you're going to be frustrated here. Let me ask you, are you looking for a title or are you looking for a job? Many, many people have come to this church, and you know what? They just couldn't get enough attention. So they run off to some small church where they can be a big duck in a small puddle. And they're more worried about everybody looking up to them than they are looking up to Christ. You know, one of my jobs as a pastor is to make sure that the Diotrephes are run out of here on a regular basis. I'd rather see them get right with God, but if they're not going to get right, they need to be just put to the run. Because you know what? Somebody who's insisting on having what only belongs to Jesus Christ. Listen, they shouldn't feel comfortable in the local assembly. They shouldn't feel comfortable in the Church of Jesus Christ. You need a title? By the way, I got to tell you a story. My wife called me. She said, "Did Amanda call you?" I said, "No." She said, "You're not going to believe what your granddaughter did." And when she's bad, she's my granddaughter. When she's good, she's her granddaughter. I said, "Which one?" Because both of them are capable of some amazing things, you know. She said, "Ariana went out in the hallway, and Amanda was busy getting Shaylee and getting all their stuff, so she wanders a little down the hallway. They're staying in an extended stay motel right now. By the way, pray that the right house opens for them. They don't have much more time to be in there, and I think the people that own it are glad." So being a, you know, curious little four-year-old and seeing what she don't really know or understand it to be, she reaches up and grabs a hold of the fire alarm and pulls it in the motel. Extended stay motel. Well, the people there at the desk can't find the key to turn it off. Every resident in the place empties out into the parking lot. It's freezing cold out there. They have to call the fire department to get them to come and turn off the fire alarm. One of the other people that stayed there called Amanda that evening after they got it all taken care of and everybody back in their room, called and said, "Have you looked on the board downstairs?" She said, "No." She said, "At this extended stay motel, they have a board there and they put resident of the week." And every week they choose a new resident of the week. Guess who is the resident of the week? My granddaughter is the resident of the week. She got a title. She got a title. Do you have to be church member of the week every week? You have to be Sunday school teacher of the week? Do you have to be bus captain of the week? Are you listening to me? What I'm doing is I'm trying to hit a reset button right here at the beginning of the year, folks. I see God blessing, and I know God's moving, but you know what? If we want to stop that here at this church, then let's start getting a big head. If we want to stop that, let's start walking around patting ourselves on the back. If you want to stop that, decide that, you know what? You or me, either one, are more important than Jesus Christ. You see, there are no celebrity church members here. There's no big names. I had a man ask me one time, he said, "Who are the big names there at your church?" Well, I brought a list of the big names here this morning. Here are the list of the big names: Advocate, Almighty, Alpha and Omega, the Amen, Apostle of our profession, Atoning Sacrifice of our sins, Author of life, Author and Perfecter of our faith, Author of our salvation, the beginning and the end, Blessed and only ruler, bread of God, bread of life, bridegroom, chief cornerstone, chief shepherd, Christ, creator, deliverer, eternal life. Amen. The big names are the door, faithful and true, faithful witness, faith and true, faithful and true witness, first and last, firstborn from the dead, firstborn from all creation, God, good shepherd, great high priest, head of the church, heir of all things, high priest, holy and true, holy one, hope, hope of glory, hope of salvation. The big names are I Am, image of God, Emmanuel, judge of the living and the dead, King eternal, King of Israel, King of the Jews, King of kings, King of the ages, Lamb, Lamb of God, Lamb without blemish, the last Adam, life, light of the world, Lion of the tribe of Judah, living one, living stone, Lord and Lord of all, Lord of glory, Lord of lords. The big names here at Blessed Hope Baptist Church, man from heaven, mediator of the new covenant, mighty God, morning star, offspring of David, only begotten Son of God, our great God and Savior, our holiness, our protection, our redemption, our righteousness, our sacrificed Passover lamb, the power of God, the precious cornerstone, the prophet, rabbi, resurrection and life, righteous branch, righteous one, rock, root of David, ruler of God's creation, nation, ruler of the kings of the earth, Savior, Son of David, Son of God, Son of man, Son of the Most High God, source of eternal salvation for the believer, the one mediator, the stone the builders rejected, the true bread, the true light, the true vine, truth, the way, the wisdom of God, the Word of God. Those are the big names here at Blessed Hope Baptist Church. Some of you are still waiting for your name to be called. It's not going to be called. It's not going to be called. There's no big names here at Blessed Hope Baptist Church except for Jesus. Well, what about the rest of these people? Who are they? We're just servants. Hey, you want to be a servant? You want to serve God? You want to lift up Christ? You want to promote Him? You'll do just fine right here at Blessed Hope Baptist Church. I believe the pastor has to see that Christ is preeminent. I believe the people have to see that Christ is preeminent. Let me just say quickly, I believe the preaching is designed to proclaim Christ is preeminent. Well, I did just a quick study on this, and I threw down some verses. Can I just read them to you? 1 Corinthians 1:17, "For Christ sent me not to baptize, but to preach the gospel, not with wisdom of words, lest the cross of Christ should be made of none effect. For the preaching of the cross is to them that perish foolishness, but unto us which is saved it is the power of God." Paul went on to tell the Corinthians, "But we preach Christ crucified, unto the Jews a stumbling block, and unto the Greeks foolishness. But unto them which are called, both Jews and Greeks, Christ the power of God and the wisdom of God." He wrote this in the second epistle. "Furthermore, when I came to Troas to preach Christ's gospel, and a door was open unto me of the Lord." He said, that's why I came. I didn't come to preach anything but Christ's gospel. How about this? "We preach not ourselves, but Christ Jesus the Lord, and ourselves your servants for Jesus' sake." I love Galatians chapter 1. "But when it pleased God, who separated me from my mother's womb and called me by his grace to reveal his Son in me that I might preach him among the heathen." To reveal his Son in me that I might preach him among the heathen. My life verse, Ephesians chapter 3, verse 8, "Unto me, who am less than the least of all saints, is this grace given that I should preach among the Gentiles the unsearchable riches of Christ." I read this the other day and I wrote it down, and I'm going to keep it where I can see it often. Watch this. This is what a man wrote. "A great sermon is not one, when delivered, leaves people saying, what a preacher. A great sermon leaves people saying, what a savior." What a savior. In 2011, I want to just make this promise to our church as never before. I want Christ to be preeminent in the preaching here at Blessed Hope Baptist Church. I believe that our program here is to emphasize Christ is preeminent. I love Ephesians chapter 3. "Now unto him that is able to do exceeding abundantly above all that we ask and think, according to the power that worketh in us, unto him be glory in the church by Christ Jesus throughout all the ages without end. Amen." A church program, what's that? I'm talking about our themes, our outreach, our efforts, our energies, our passions, our direction, our impact, our focus. All of these things must always be Christ-centered and Christ-honoring. I've spent the last 2 weeks going through, as I do at the end of every year, every ministry of Blessed Hope Baptist Church, and I put them all under the microscope and prayerfully consider where we're at on each one and highlight the ones where I feel like we need to do some things to shore some things up. And that's the responsibility of the overseer. That's the responsibility of the pastor. And let me just say this. I'm amazed at all that goes on here. But let me say this. In your area of service, Christ needs to be preeminent. In your area of... Listen, I'm not everywhere all the time. In the 5th and 6th grade church that Brother Chad Gordon's preaching right now, Christ needs to be preeminent. In the junior church where Michael Ross is over there in charge of, Christ needs to be preeminent. Down in the primary church, Stephanie Walton, those little children, Christ needs to be preeminent. Brother Andy, in junior master's club, Christ needs to be preeminent. In our primary master's club, Brother Jeffrey, Christ needs to be preeminent. Above anything else, Christ needs to be preeminent. Even in the nursery, Sister Terry Reiser's taken over that position now as nursery director. Listen, Christ ought to be preeminent in the nursery. In the nursery, Christ ought to be preeminent. In our Sunday school classes, nursery Sunday school class, Sister Bonnie, make sure Christ is preeminent. Sister Nancy, you've been teaching a long time. I've got great faith in you. 2 and 3 year olds need to know that Christ is preeminent. Elizabeth English just took our 4 and 5 year olds. We split Sister Carla's class starting this Sunday. Elizabeth, you just got started. You look tired, by the way. How you doing? Keep Christ preeminent. Keep Him preeminent. In our kindergarten class, Sister Carla, keep Christ preeminent. Sister Laura, Sister Darcy, Sister Angie, Sister Connie, first, second, third, fourth grade, Christ must be preeminent. Preeminent. I'm glad that you're going to build a relationship with those students, and I want you to. And I'm glad that they love you, and they ought to. But you know what? You keep Christ as number one in those classes. Fifth and sixth grade girls, keep Christ preeminent, Sister Terry. Fifth and sixth grade boys, Brother Weddle, keep Christ preeminent. Our young people, Brother Riser and your wife teaching down there, listen to me. I don't know if there's a more important time to keep Christ preeminent in their life. In everything that we do. Sister Kim Ross, Sister Jean Mowry, by the way, they've done a great job with this for many, many years now, in charge of our Sunday school records. I want Christ preeminent in everything, in everything. Hey, Bus 101, let's keep Christ preeminent. Let's keep Him preeminent in Worthington and Swiss City and Lyons and Marco. Let's keep Him preeminent. Hey, Bus 202 in Linton, let's keep Christ preeminent. Hey, Bus 303, Jasonville, Colmont, High Mare, let's keep Christ preeminent. Hey, how about Sullivan, Bus 404? We need Christ to be preeminent in Sullivan and Duggar and Vicksburg and Midland. How about the Shelburne route, Bus 505, Farmersburg, Lewis? There ought to be some place that comes into these neighborhoods not to promote blessed hope, not to promote a man, but to promote the Lord Jesus Christ. This may sound funny to you, and some of you are just going to have to take a minute and understand, and I'll be careful what I say out of respect. But you know what? Sister Veronica is over our bus treats. Can I say this? Even in our bus treats, let's keep Christ preeminent. We get around the holidays sometimes, Christmas, and some people want to... And by the way, sometimes they don't know better, and they're good-hearted. And maybe we just failed to communicate it. But folks, we're not here to promote Santa Claus. He's not the one that's supposed to be preeminent on Christ's birthday. World does enough of that stuff. World doesn't. Shouldn't in the church house, shouldn't there be one place where Christ is preeminent? Easter will come in a little while, and maybe that's your rotation. And I don't want you making cupcakes with little Easter bunnies on. That's not what the Easter holiday is about. Let's keep Christ preeminent in every detail, in everything that we do. There's a reason, by the way, that we try to keep our buses painted sharp. I want to say a word about this. I appreciate the work that goes on just the property here. You may not think that it's a big deal, you coming in mowing the yard when it's your week, but let me say this, folks. I believe the property ought to speak to a first class idea of what the Church of Jesus Christ ought to be. Christ ought to be preeminent. In our Christian school, Christ ought to be preeminent. Hey, teachers, keep Christ preeminent. Hey, monitors, keep Christ preeminent. If you got time to talk, let's talk about Jesus. King of kings is He. How about our visitation program? What has it developed into? Is it really what we intended it to be? Is it a chance to go out and tell people about Christ? Let's keep Him preeminent. Brother Tom Walton's over our music, and he's our music director. Our congregational song lead and does a good job. Let me say this, folks. The music program here at Blessed Baptist Church is to keep Christ preeminent. It's to keep Christ preeminent. Piano players, listen to me. It's not about you. It's about Christ. People that stand here and sing a special, it's not about you. It's about Christ. When you stop praising the Lord and start performing for the people... Let me say it again. When you stop praising the Lord and start performing for the people, then what you're saying is, I ought to have preeminence. Not in this church. Not behind this pulpit. Not while this guy's sitting right over there. Teenagers, teen groups, it's not about you, it's about Jesus Christ. Children's choir, it's not about you, it's about Jesus Christ. It's good for us. Amen. Hospitality director, it's about Jesus. When we do the hospitals, let's do them right because it's about Jesus. When we do funerals, let's make Christ preeminent. By the way, weddings, Christ should be preeminent. I don't understand this nonsense that goes on amongst Christians. I'm going to say it. I'm going to say it out loud, and then you get mad at me, and you can just get over it. But I'm not going to turn this church into a burlesque show. That aisle right there is an aisle where women can, for women to walk down. You know, it's amazing to me. A young lady will dress modest her whole life and decide just because she's getting married on a certain day, she can show herself in her nakedness. Shame on you. Listen, this is a place where Christ is going to be preeminent. Well, I'll just go somewhere else and get married, then go somewhere else and get married. But if you're going to get married here, you're going to be modest while you get married. You're going to be decent. You're going to cover yourself. By the way, we're not going to bring a bunch of songs in this auditorium that are worldly songs and carnal songs and fleshly songs. This Christ is going to have the preeminence. Well, I don't want that kind of a marriage. You don't want a Christian wedding, is what you're saying. You don't want a Christian wedding. How dare God intrude on your day? There's a basic problem here that's being revealed right now in your heart. If you're listening to the Holy Spirit of God. Oh, but this is my day. No, I got news for you. Every day is Christ's day. In all things. In all things. In all things, he can have, should have the preeminence. There's a reason that the dresses have to be approved by my wife. Don't you get mad at her. There's a reason that the music has to be approved by me. Don't you get mad at me. You know, I'm doing my job. I'm keeping Christ preeminent here at Blessed Oak Baptist Church. Church banquets, Christmas banquets, Valentine's banquets, church fellows, whatever we do, youth activities, whatever we do. Brother Klein and all of our media and everything that we produce, let's make sure Christ is preeminent. Let's just keep Christ as number one. All of our public relations, I want people to identify us with the church that exalts Jesus Christ. Our missionaries, you know what? I want to take on missionaries this year that are intent on seeing that Christ is preeminent. Our Operation Think of It events, let's keep Christ preeminent. All of the things that we do, the nursing homes, my goodness sakes. Nathan Walton just took over the Jasonville nursing home just a few months ago. Brother Nathan, here's the best advice I can give you. This is the plan. When you go this afternoon to Jasonville, just keep Christ preeminent. He's gone. Amen. He's already over there praying, getting ready. All right. This month I'll be going to Glenburn Nursing Home. You know what my job is? Go in there and not get them to like Jerry Ross. It's to get them to see Jesus Christ. The Linton Nursing Home, Brother Klein, so faithful, and his wife and their children go in there and minister. Just keep Christ preeminent in that thing. And the Lions Nursing Home, Brother Weddle, keep Christ preeminent. And the Sullivan Nursing Home with Dave Smith doing that now. Christ is preeminent. Mary Manor, Brother Reiser takes the teens over to Mary Manor, Sullivan Mary Manor. Let's keep Christ number one. Let's just keep Christ number one, amen. Brother Casper, McCormick Creek, let's keep Christ as number one. Well, folks, I've said what I want to say. This is what we're going to do this year. This is where we're headed. This is where we're going. This is the message we have. This is the only plan we've got. Lift up Christ. Lift up Christ. Talk about Jesus. Tell folks about Christ. Try to live like Christ so they can see Christ. That's the plan. That's it. That's the plan. You help me, Blessed Oak Baptist Church members. You help me walk guard around this place. You help me. By the way, I'd like to hear more Jesus songs this year. I'm going to talk to you about that tonight. I like Jesus songs. I like heaven songs, but I like Jesus songs. I like second coming songs because they're about Jesus too. I like Jesus songs. Let's sing some Jesus songs this year. I'm going to teach you a chorus tonight. Most of you know, you've seen already the banner. It took me a long time to paint these. I hope you... hours and hours to paint them. That's it, the ultimate goal. To be like Jesus. To be like Jesus. All I ask, to be like Him. Heavenly Father, I pray that You'd take the message and help us take it to heart. Sometimes it's easy to say one thing, and then if we look at what we're doing, we're really doing something different. I pray, Lord, that this Sunday morning, be a chance of self-examination. Every single person at Blessed Oak Baptist Church, from the pulpit to the pew, every ministry, every single place where somebody's serving the Lord, I pray, Lord, that You'd help us to rededicate ourselves to this idea. Let's keep Christ to the forefront. He's foremost. He's the most important. He's first in rank. He is above all things, before all things. I pray, Lord, that you would see that and pour out your blessing. Thank you, Lord, for Brother John. Brother John the Baptist, he gave us the formula. He must increase, I must decrease. Not he must increase and I must increase. He must increase, I must decrease. I pray, Lord, that you do something in our hearts. Help us to commit ourselves together as a church family to do this thing without fail in an upcoming year.